Well, I'm ready for the Word of God. I don't know if y'all are. I want us to take our Bibles out this morning. And again, as I said, we'll have our offering, our giving time at the end of service today. So you can be a giver at that time. Again, all of the money that we're raising is going 100% to our land. We have already raised about $135,000 to $40,000, maybe $50,000. Over the next few weeks. And so as soon as we get it paid for, we'll be launching out. So as you're giving today, we're doing a lot. I think one of the things we're doing is we're getting ready to give more money to Jerry Whitson. They need a sound system in their gymnasium because the kids can't hear in the gymnasium, and the one they have is terrible. And that school up there is just a forgotten school. So one of the things we're doing is this week we're getting ready to write some money and buying them a sound system. Going to get the best we can get and put in that gymnasium for them, because that's what God's about. God's about helping the hurting, right? And so I'm thankful to be a part of a church who's doing that. All right, let's get into the Word of God this morning. And as you're turning to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, let me mention one last thing. This afternoon, as soon as I get through preaching, normally I stick around and hug necks. But this evening or this afternoon, as soon as I get through preaching, I will be going out this door and out the back because I have to get in a truck. I have to go to Livingston to catch a private plane to get to Biloxi, Mississippi to speak for a couple of days in Biloxi, Mississippi. So I covet your prayers as I go down there. Pray that the Lord will give us a harvest of souls as we're ministering for the kingdom down there. This Wednesday, I'm calling the whole church to a day of fasting and prayer this coming Wednesday. I'm asking you on Wednesday to fast if you can. If you can't do all day, do a meal, do something. But what we're doing is we believe that prayer moves the heavens and moves us. And this coming Wednesday night, we're going to have music playing in the sanctuary. The youth are still going to meet. So young people, you're still going to meet over here, but we're going to have music playing in the sanctuary. You're going to get a card when you come in the door that has a list of things I want you to pray for. And this Wednesday night, this sanctuary will become a house of prayer. I want you to fast, and then as you come in the door, we're going to give you a card. Nobody's going to be talking. Nobody's going to be leading you. I want you to come find a place. I don't care if you walk, you stand, you run and pray. Whatever you do, just pray and seek the Lord with me. So from 6:30 to 7:30, that's what we're going to do in this place. Because we need, what we've got to do in the future, we need the supernatural. And God, we need God to help us. And so you're going to have a list of things I want you to pray about. You can take that card home. That'll be your prayer list. And for the next several weeks on Wednesday night, we're going to make this a house of prayer. And we're going to fast on Wednesdays. The Bible says when you give, when you pray, when you fast, heaven moves for you. How many believe the Word of God, right? So that's what's going to happen this coming Wednesday night. All right, let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Holy Spirit, I thank you for everything that's going on in our church. Thank you for all that you're doing here. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to us. Grant unto me the anointing of the Holy Ghost to deliver your heart to your people. Father, these are your people. They're not mine. I pray, God, that you would speak directly to their spirit man and encourage them today in all that you've called and anointed them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about the rest of God. Today, I'm going to move to faith forward. Today, I'm going to talk about possessing the promises of God. How do we possess it? We've been talking about all the benefits that God has given us, and you need to watch those messages if you haven't seen them. All the benefits, and I've told you there's over 2,000 of them in the Word of God that God has given you. Grace has provided everything that you need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus. I don't care what it is, if it's physical, financial, spiritual, for your marriage, whatever. God has already provided everything that you need to be victorious. Amen? There should be no victims in this room. There should only be victors in this room. You're the head and you are not the tail. You are above only. You are not beneath. Folks, you're going up. You're not going under. Amen? Why is that possible? Because grace has already provided. And before I've even gotten started, I feel the glory of God coming on me now. Grace has already provided. But we have all of these wonderful benefits. The issue is, how do we access them? How do we appropriate them? How do we get the provision that God has given us and bring them into the here and now for our life? Well, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2. I've hit it two or three times on a light scale. Today I'm going to hit it hard. For by grace you have been saved. Verse number 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Everybody say that. Through faith. How are you saved? No, you're saved by grace. I did it on purpose. How are you saved?
By grace.
But it comes through what?
Faith.
You're saved what?
By grace.
But it comes how?
Faith.
Even salvation, the basic saving of your soul, you get it through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We've already talked about this. What's the gift of God? Grace or faith? Both. Both. Grace is a gift of God for you. But faith is also, did you know you can't even have faith if God doesn't give it to you?
Amen.
You can't believe God for anything if God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't inspire that or give it to you. This is the reason a lot of people, they'll get frustrated in their prayer time. They say, well, I just don't feel nothing when I pray. Well, you can't determine whether or not God heard you by what you feel. Let me just, how many of you have ever had a desire to pray, but you just didn't get anything out of it when you prayed, or you felt like you didn't? Lift your hand, tell the truth, you go to hell for lying in church, right? Right? All of us have. But let me just tell you, the very fact that you had the desire to pray is the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible says, no man comes to God except the first the Holy Spirit draw him. See, prayer is not even of your own volition. The idea for prayer came from the Holy Ghost in your inner man drawing you to the Father. So it doesn't matter how you feel, the Holy Ghost wanted you to come and talk to him. Right? Well, grace is a gift from God. Faith is also a gift of God. That not of yourself, lest anyone boast. So grace through faith. How am I saved? By grace, what? Through faith. Well, this is very, very important that we get this in our spirit. So, grace is provided, but faith takes possession. Grace has provided, that's God's part. Faith takes possession, that's my part. Just because God has in his grace provided doesn't mean you necessarily get it unless you, by faith, take possession of it. Right? The Bible says there's only one way we've been given permission as the children of God to live. And the just shall live by faith. That's the only lifestyle the believer should ever know, is the lifestyle of faith. Now, I want you to go with me to the book of Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Jesus makes an interesting statement about the last days, the days in which you and I live. And he talks about faith concerning the last days. Luke chapter 18, verse number 6. Then the Lord said, now this is the story about the persistent woman who comes to the unjust judge and she's demanding justice, right, for her loved one. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, isn't that interesting, folks? That Jesus said concerning the last days, when he comes, he's wondering, will he really find faith on the earth? See, what that tells me, that as the closer we get to the end of this age, faithlessness will be the rule of the day. Faithlessness, doubt, and unbelief will be what controls people. Now, folks, only believers can have faith. So he's got to be talking about believers here. He says, I want to know something. When I come, will I really find faith in my church? See, you either have it or you don't. You either walk in it or you don't. Look at me. There's only two ways you can live as a believer. You can live the faith life or you can live the doubt life. You can live the faith life or you can live the doubting life or the unbelief life. And unbelief doesn't please God. So look at me. As we come into these days of pestilences and wars and rumors of wars and all the struggles that you and I are going to walk through in the days to come, Jesus is wondering, is he going to find people who know how to live by faith, walk by faith, operate by faith? See, you're saved by grace, but you possess everything grace has given you through faith. So listen to me. I'm just warning you now, as a Christian, you better learn how to use your faith. You better learn how. We're coming into some days, folks, where you're going to have to learn how to use your faith. You're going to know how to have to know how to walk by faith. You see, that's a very important thing. Now, sitting in this church this morning are some people who aren't in the faith life. Listening to me by television or the internet or radio are some people who aren't in the faith life. And I want to just submit to you that it's probably the great majority of Christians who are sitting in churches. They've never, ever entered into a dimension of faith. They've done what only their natural man can do, whatever their intellect can, or their finances, however far it'll take them, that's as far as they've gone. But can I tell you, God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of you. Most people never get beyond their natural abilities to get over into faith. In other words, believing what God says about them. Believing what God expects over their life. Believing the call and the purposes of God that God created in them. They just live there by the natural. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, let's go over here to the book of 2 Corinthians. If you don't know where that is, all you got to do is go to Ephesians and turn to the left, two books. And let's go to 2 Corinthians, the last chapter of the book, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and look at what Paul says to the church. Now, again, these are Christian folks, right? These aren't lost folks. These are Christian folks. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. Look at what he asked them to do. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Now, folks, just because faith has been provided as a gift from God for you doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's going to walk by faith or going to live by faith. The just has to live by faith. We have been called to the faith life, right? But Jesus said, when I come, will I really find faith on the earth? So Paul comes along and says, listen, you can be set. Look at me. You can be sitting in church every Sunday. You can hear great preaching every Sunday. You can lift your hands in worship and cry crocodile tears every Sunday and yet still never live by faith. Still never possess the promises that grace has provided for you. It's possible to do that. Now, folks, I've been pastoring for 32 years. I'm telling you, I've seen this over and over again. But yet in every church, there seems to be a handful of people. We call them remnant folks. These folks understand that God has more for them. That they don't have to live beneath the privileges of what God has provided through the atoning work of Christ on the cross. I'm about to get myself excited now, right? So these people move into an arena of faith. So Paul said, look, you can be coming to church, but you need to check yourself. You need to check up from the neck up. Are you in the faith life? Are you in the faith life? Or is everything you're doing right now based on your ability, your giftings, your current resources? See, one of the ways you'll know you're in the faith life is you'll be trying to step out and believe God to do things that you currently don't have, possess, or have the ability to do right now. That's one of the ways. My whole life, people say, well, how are you going to afford this? I don't know. By faith. Amen. Well, how are you going to do this? I don't know. By faith. You say, well, what do you mean by faith? Well, what I've learned is I've learned that if God's word has made me a promise, I can operate as if I've already got it right now by faith, right? Grace has provided it. It's already been done by faith. Examine yourself. Check yourself. Somebody hit your neighbor right now and say, you need to check yourself. You need to find out if you're in the faith. Right? So that's one of the things we want to look at today. So let's do something. You say, well, pastor, hold it. Why do I need to check myself? Well, Let me show you a scripture here. James chapter 2. I wasn't going to go over here, but I feel something pressing me. James, the book of James, chapter 2. James chapter 2. And let me show you something interesting about faith. James chapter 2, verse number 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Everybody say this. Say faith works.
Faith works.
Right? It's not by works, but faith does have action to it. Right? Faith works. You believe that there is one God. How many of you believe there's one God? Right? But check this out. He said, you do well. Even the demons believe. And they tremble. You know, it's shocking to me that there's Christians sitting in church, hear the word of God all the time, set under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and they don't live in the faith life, but demons operate in faith. Demons believe, and demons tremble. You know why they tremble? Because they know there's a judgment day coming. They tremble. They know there's a judgment day coming. Why is it that demons tremble because of the faith they have about what God said that is going to come, but people who sit in church don't tremble about the judgment day when they're going to stand before God? Right? See, what I'm trying to point out to you is grace is a gift. Faith is a gift. But just because you're sitting in church doesn't make you have faith. You're not people of faith just because you're sitting in church. So Jesus said, in the last days when I come, will I find faith on the earth? I'm wondering if I come to church, am I going to find people of faith or people who live in unbelief and just go through the religious calisthenics? Because it's easy to do, folks. It's easy just to get in the routine of coming to church and going through the motions. But I'm asking you, being family, is that going to be the kind of church we are? Because if that's what we are, then we're just going to be like 99% of all the churches in Cookeville, Tennessee, and all the churches in America, a group of people who just come to church, pay homage, pay their penance, give the little money here and there, but never do anything great for God. Or are we, as the being family, say, no, we know God's got something better. We're going to stretch ourselves, believe God for more, believe that God is able. We're going to believe God for greater things, right? And not just as a church, but as an individual. What has God called you to do? What's God anointed you to do? What's the Holy Ghost talking to you about in your prayer time? Folks, I'm telling you, you can operate in the faith life and have everything that God has promised you. It's possible. Yesterday, I was riding my motorcycle. I went up Buck Mountain. I went past my mother-in-law's place, and I kept going out, and I was going out toward Brotherton Mountain. Some of y'all know where that's at. And on the right-hand side, there's a little bitty 1,100-square-foot house. It's cream, about the color of this. Actually, it's more yellow than this, and it has hunter green shutters. It's on the right-hand side of that. My brother-in-law knows exactly where that house is. He helped me build a deck on that house because that was my first house I ever bought. That was my personal house. My first house. Didn't have to have anybody co-sign for me. I walked up in that lawyer's office like I was all that in a bag of chips. Took my own personal. I went and bought a pen to sign. I was bad to the bone. Pam and I thought we were hot stuff, didn't we, baby? Boy, you look good in that hat. And I tell you, we thought we were hot stuff. We walked out of that lawyer's office like we was on high cot. And then we moved into that house. It's 1,000 square foot. Little bitty small tiny house. 1,000 square foot. But it was our place. Listen, when we went into ministry, we didn't think we would own a thing. Because we were taught when you go into ministry, you're supposed to be broke, busted, and disgusted. That's what I was taught. Just be prepared for it as a pastor. You're going to be broke the rest of your life, and the board's going to make sure of it. That's what I was taught in ministry school. I'm just telling you the truth. That's what I was taught. Well, we started getting around some teaching. And this teaching said, no, God don't want you to live like that. God's best friend was a multimillionaire. I said, who's that? He said, Abraham. And then I started reading about Solomon. And then I started reading about all these other patriarchs that were blessed. And then I started reading things like 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And I started getting the word of God in me. And religion started leaving. Right. See, I've been in church since I was 12. From 12 to 18, 19 years old, I was taught I was going to be broke. But religion started getting off of me. Then I said, well, you know, can I be blessed and be a pastor? And the Holy Ghost said, yeah, you can have whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. I started believing God for more. Well, next thing I know, I was in Louisiana. And again, you understand, we stair-stepped up along the way. We just didn't go from one house to the next house, folks. Come on, that's not how it works. Faith is a journey. There's dimensions of faith. And so we got over, and I can remember one day we were sitting in the bathroom, and Pam was set. She always has this stool. She sets it in front of the mirror, and she's putting her makeup on, and she's getting ready. And I'm over there saying something like this: "Baby, you're so lucky that you're married to a good-looking man like this." Do I not do it every morning, every single morning? "You're so lucky." I mean, I'm telling you, baby, look at you. I mean, I tell her all the time. I told her last week, I said, "Have you seen some of the pictures of the people that we went to high school with? You got the best looking man in the entire high school from your graduating class of 1988. She gets so sick and tired of hearing it. She does. Right? But she's going to hear it till she dies. Praise the Lord. I want to remind her how good God's blessed her. The Bible says that if a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord, right? Well, it should have said if a woman finds a good-looking man like Shane, she got some stuff. That's what it should say. It should be an addendum on it. But anyway, we were sitting in our house in West Monroe, Louisiana, and we had went and looked at a house. There was no way in the world we could buy that house. No way in the natural. And while we was talking to this man, we went and looked at it. It was beautiful. This man put a sign in the yard. I thought, man, that's a pretty place. We were driving by. The guy said, "Won't you come on back and look at it?" So 30 minutes later, we walked up in there like we could afford it. That dude didn't know we couldn't buy nothing. We was just getting started in that church up there. So anyway, I went home. Next day, we were getting ready. She was getting ready. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me just like in my inner man. Not audibly, in my inner man. Anybody ever had the Holy Spirit just speak to you here? In my inner man, the Holy Spirit said, "You got faith for that house?" I said, "What do you mean faith for that house?" And then I immediately knew he was talking about the house I went and looked at. And I had to check myself. Because the truth is, I didn't have faith for that house. And then the Holy Ghost said to me again, he said, "If you got faith for that house, I'll give you that house." He said, "I want to give you that house." He said, "I want to give that house to your wife because she's been so faithful to you in the ministry." He said, "I want to bless her." So I said, "Well, it ain't going to hang on me alone if he wants it to be her house." I said, "Baby, you got faith for that house?" She said, "Babe, we can't afford that house." I said, "I didn't ask if we could afford it. I asked if you got faith for it." So we prayed about it a little bit, and she said, "Yeah, I've got faith for it." Well, I had $10,000 to my name. I'd saved up an extra $10,000. I took all $10,000 because I'm not advising you to do this, but I'm crazy when I hear God's voice. I took all $10,000. I went to that man's house, sat down. I said, "Here's a $10,000 earnest money check." And I said, "We're going to buy this house." We hadn't even put our house on the market. I didn't know if it would sell. I had to sell it at over full price in order to pull this off. Plus, I had to come up with another $50,000 to put down on it. Well, I only had 60 days to come up with all this money to sell my house. So after I wrote the $10,000 check, I walked out of there and I said, "What in the world have I done? I'm an idiot." Right? And the Holy Ghost spoke to me right here. He said, "You got faith for this?" I said, "Yes, sir, I got faith for it." I'd ask Pam from time to time, "You still got faith for it?" She'd say, "Yes, sir." Well, that afternoon, we was out at the house, and I got a phone call. Didn't know what it was from, and it was from Sid Roth. Anybody ever seen Sid Roth? It's supernatural. Sid Roth called me. He said, "Shane," and I was on television at TBN, and he was in the car with me, and he told me he was going to call me. If you knew how many people told me he was going to call me, never called me. I'd get wealthy off of that. Anyway, he called me. He said, "Shane, this is Sid Roth. It's supernatural." He said, "Have you written a book lately?" And I said, "Well, actually, I'm finishing a book up." Then I said, "Lord, forgive me, because I don't know how I'm going to write that book between now and when he needs it." Actually, I was writing a book. It just wasn't anything like a book. It was more like sermon notes. And I said, yeah, when do you need it by? He said, well, I need it in a couple of days. So I got to work, and we went to writing a book, and I wrote a book in 24 hours, The Last Days of America. Sold millions of copies, went around the world, 24 hours. He said, listen, he said, I want to do a television show with you. And he said, I need to order some of those books. And I said, okay, how many books you need? He said, well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay you $10 a book. And I said, well, that'd be great, $10 a book. He said, I'm going to send you a check in advance. And I said, how many books you need? He said, I need 5,000 books, 10 times 5. $50,000. There was my $50,000. We put our house up for sale. My house sold within a matter of a few days. When I went and signed at the closing table, I had all the cash to put down on that house, and God gave me $10,000 in my savings account. Come on, somebody say, God is a good God. If you got faith for it, God can give it to you. Now, it's not just about a house. I could care less, and she'll tell you, I care less about that house. I live in a travel trailer. It's not about, God don't care if you have stuff. God just don't want the stuff to have you. This is about the faith life. God wants to be good to you, folks. God wants to be good to you. Oh, my goodness, I don't even know where to go here. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. How did I get off on that? I looked at Pam. She had that hat on. She looked so good. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Did you know it makes sense to serve God? It's reasonable. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We'll come back to that. That you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think of himself soberly, as God has dealt to every man the what? Look at me. You see, you're in here today. You say, well, I don't have faith like you do, Pastor. Yes, you do. Everybody has been given the necessary measure of faith to access, to appropriate everything that grace has provided for you. There's nobody in this room under the sound of my voice or listening to me around the world right now that has not been given sufficient, adequate faith to believe God. God has given unto me and you the measure of faith. So you got faith, and you got faith. Fred and Patty's got faith, and Dennis. Look, everybody in here's got faith. You say, well, I don't have much faith. You don't need much faith. Didn't you realize the Bible says if you have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you'll have whatsoever you say. You don't have to have a lot of faith to do big things for God. You just got to learn how to use the faith you got. So everybody put your hand right here right now. Say, I have enough faith to do whatever God's called me to do. You just got to use the faith that's on the inside of you. You already got it. Listen, if devils have it, you got to have it. If devils have it, you got to have it. You just got to learn how to walk in, live by, operate by this faith. That's the reason we're talking about faith forward. For by grace you have been saved through faith. How are you saved? By grace?
Through faith.
Through faith. Right? You got to learn how to use your faith. And I'm trying to figure out where I want to go here. All right, let's go to two or three more scriptures, maybe four, five, six. I don't know. Let's go over here to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. I love this passage right here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, here's a problem with faith. I'm going to help. Listen, by the time I get through in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to help some of you so much you're not going to know what to do when you walk out of the room. I know what I'm about to teach you, and I'm about to give you a secret that has guided me for 32 years to do what I've done for God. A secret. And it come through the school of hard knocks. So let me get there, but let me show you the problem before we get the solution. Here's the problem. Verse number 11. But you, O man of God, 1 Timothy 6. Verse 11, but you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Say that out loud, please. Fight the good fight. Uh-oh. You mean faith has a fight to it? See, here's the problem. Look at me. When Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? Well, I don't know. That's the reason I need to examine myself to see whether I'm in the faith. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I've got faith. It's not an issue of whether I got it. Do I know how to use the faith? Do I live by faith or do I live by my natural man? Right? Well, the reason most people never enter into the faith arena and learn how to live by faith is because faith is warfare. You have to fight the fight of faith. Faith has great conflict and struggle that surrounds it. See, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Never criticize somebody who's doing big things for God, because you don't know the hell they've been through to get where they're at. I can promise, when we bought that house, didn't we, baby? You would have thought we committed the abomination of desolation. We bought that house, and man, that people just went out of their mind. They said, oh, he thinks he's a big-time preacher. Well, you know, those folks weren't there. Dennis Sharp was. He was there, he and his wife. And Jamie was there. She is a teenager back then. And she was in Smithville, Tennessee when I took that church, Smithville, Tennessee, and all 11 of us were happy. Right? And then it wasn't long, Dennis Sharp come in. He finally got right with God and come back to church. Help me. Dennis Sharp and I used to ride around his little truck. He used to call me his little buddy. Behind the scenes, whenever I got out of the truck, I called him the old dude. Anyway, we'd walk around. We'd talk about faith. We'd talk about the things of God. But you know, they weren't there when every morning at 4 a.m. I'd get up, get dressed in my McDonald's uniform. And I had 2 degrees and almost a master's degree in biblical language. And I was going to McDonald's at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was the maintenance guy out there on cold Sunday mornings, Monday mornings, Tuesday mornings, and I was pressure washing the drive-through. I was cleaning the toilets. I did that from 4 to 7 o'clock in the morning. Then at 7:30, am I telling the truth, Dennis? I'd change into a different set of clothes. Then I went to Regal Marine Boat Factory. Y'all remember where that's at? Regal Marine Boat Factory. And then I'd go out there and I'd crawl under those fiberglass, that catamaran. Every day I'd go home, I'd pick fiberglass out of my arms and itch all night. They weren't there. And then I'd come home in the afternoon about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and I'd take a shower and I'd get dressed in something else. And then I'd go to the Sundance or whatever it is, cafe up on the square. And Pam was waiting tables and I would go bust the tables. And we were making money, just enough money. We were trying to eat, folks. Didn't know how in the world they weren't there when I was doing that. They weren't there when I was the largest tither at the assembly. And whenever the board decided they were going to pay me, this is after a year and a half, they were going to pay me $50 a week to be their pastor. And I knew I was giving more than $50 a week in the offering every week. They weren't there. I've come a long ways, baby. They weren't there. So listen to me. You weren't there when people walked out on me. You weren't there when people would kiss me, give me the kiss of fellowship, and tell me they're going to be with me to the end. And then all of a sudden I look up one day and they tried to split the church and they were gone. Never even had the courtesy to say goodbye. You weren't there when I've been at hospitals at 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, and people burying their children and me trying to figure out what to say to them. You weren't there when the enemy would attack my own family and try to take my son and lead him away from God, and I was fighting hell with a water pistol. Don't you ever criticize somebody who's trying to do something big for God, because you don't know the hell they walk to get to where they're at. Faith has conflict. So look at me. I want to make clear this morning, I'm not telling you that the faith walk is going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Abraham, get out of this country and go to a land. I love the way God does Abraham. Get thee out and get thee up. Or get thee up and get thee out. And go to a land that I'll show you. Get thee up, get thee out, comma, and go to a land that I'll show you. That's what the scripture says. Get thee up, get thee out, comma, and go to a land that I'll show you. Well, what God doesn't do is he doesn't tell you between the comma and that and. You might as well stretch and pull that thing out 30 years. He doesn't tell you in that comma and that, in between that comma and and, you're going to have to, you might end up giving your wife to Pharaoh, and you're going to have to fight that battle, and you're going to have to go get your nephew from the kings, and you're going to have to fight that battle, and you're going to have to go rescue your nephew Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah, and you're going to fight that battle. He never told you any of that. Faith is a journey. God just makes a promise. God says, hey, you know what? I want to be your healer. I am healed. Everybody say, I am healed. But then sickness and disease comes. You say, why sickness and disease come? Because all faith has conflict. God's not looking for weak people. He's looking for strong people who have a deep faith in their heart and say, I don't care if hell comes against me. It can come against me one way, but it'll rise up and flee seven ways in the name of Jesus, because greater is he that is in me. Come on, somebody in this church, help me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's faith. Faith will spit in the devil's face, tell him to go to hell, and still chase after everything God has said. And if you don't have that, you're not living by faith. Faith's tough. It's tough. In the natural realm, the people who operate in the faith the most is business owners, because they have to deal with it too. Conflict. Everybody say, faith has conflict. Oh my goodness. I tell you what, let's do. Let's go to these last two passages here. Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to close. Man, I could just teach all day. I feel the Lord. There's just peace in the room. I love what the Word of God does. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse number 38. Hebrews 10, 38. Now, you got something to underline with? Now, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But, now this is a big but here, right? If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Look at me. I told you from the beginning there's only two ways to live: the faith life or the doubt life. You're either in faith or you're not. Here's what God says. God says, if you're not, my soul has no pleasure in you. Keep your finger right there. Look over here at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. What pleases God? Faith. What pleases him? Faith. Go back over here, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I want the Lord to get great pleasure out of me. I want him to be happy and pleased with my life. So I've got to learn to live by faith. Look at verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back. We're not of those who draw back to perdition. Do you know what that word perdition literally means? It literally means lost and damnation. Did you look at me? Did you know what happens when you don't live by faith? You live like lost people. You might be moral, but if you don't live by faith, you live like lost people. Do you know where lost people go? They go to damnation. Well, I don't want my life to run into damnation. I'm not trying to drive it into the ditch of damnation. I want to be blessed. Amen. So what do I got to do to be blessed? I got to learn how to live by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those. Look at me. I'm not one of these people going to quit. No, I'm going to be like a bulldog. I get my teeth in something, you're going to have to pry that thing off with a crowbar, because I'm going to fight till the death. I'm dying or it's dying, but something's going to die, right? Listen, whenever you get in faith and you have conflict, you can't go back. Oh, the children of Israel come out of Egypt, get over into the wilderness. The first thing they do, they hit the Red Sea. What do they want to do? They want to go back. After they get through the Red Sea, now they get to the next place, encounter enemy. What do they want to do? Go back. They're acting like lost people. They're acting like lost people. You know how many Christians I've watched in 32 years? God wants to take them and they get started in something and they just end up going back. We're not those kind of people. That's not in my DNA to go back. That's the reason I said we're going to go faith forward. Faith forward, right? All right, look at verse number, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I might not have what I'm wanting, that house, but faith. When God said, do you have faith for it? And gave me faith for that house. He dropped it in my spirit. Well, I can tell you right now, I don't just go writing a $10,000 check unless I'm sure of it. Y'all hear me? Everybody else thought it was a risk. It wasn't a risk to me. Do you know why? Because that house was already mine. As soon as God said, you got it, and I took action and moved on it, it was mine. And I'll be doggone if any devil in hell was going to keep me from possessing that place. It was mine. Same kind of faith. I don't care what you're facing in life, right? Faith is the substance of things for the evidence of things not seen. The just live by faith. Look at this. Verse number 4. We're going to go real fast here. Verse 4, by faith. Verse 5, by faith. Verse 7, by faith. Verse 8, by faith. Verse 11, by faith. Verse 17, by faith. Verse 20, by faith. Verse 21, by faith. Verse 22, by faith. 23, by faith. Verse 24, by faith. 27, by faith. 29, by faith. 28, by faith as well. 30, by faith. How did all the people of the Old Testament live? By faith. You can't do it any different. By faith. By faith. Now, I told you faith has conflict, right? And I'm going to quit with this last scripture, Hebrews chapter 12. Come on, turn over there. Hebrews chapter 12. This is the thing I told you I was going to give you that's going to change your life when it comes to faith. We'll come back to this next Sunday. I'm going to go back into this next Sunday. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, if you want to know who those clouds of witnesses are, that's chapter 11, the whole chapter. He said, all these people live by faith, and since we're surrounded by those kind of people who live by faith, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look now, this is so key, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If you're going to write something in your Bible, out there in the Bible, in your margin, write these words, focus is the key to faith. Focus is the key to faith. Faith's going to have conflict, right? You're going to run into conflict. Whenever you start to move in what God's told you to do, you try to do something big, you're going to run into conflict. So what happens when you run into conflict? Well, you got to realize that focus is the key to victorious faith. Look at me. Look right here. Everybody close your Bible. Right? Hold this, baby. Look right here. And looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Verse 2, and looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Look at me. I want to teach you. Here's what a lot of people do, and this is where they mess up in their faith walk. God tells them, God puts in their heart to do something. So, sister here is believing for a job at Tech, right? So I want everybody to believe with her. She's going to get this job at Tech. She is moving in faith. I believe it's going to happen. Right? God puts it in her heart. She starts having dreams. She starts having visions. The Spirit of God starts stirring in her. This is where I want you to be. Right? And guess what she does? She starts moving toward it. So she goes to one interview and they don't hire her. Look, faith has conflict. Say it. Faith has come. So she hits the barrier. Here's what she can do. When she hits the barrier, she can get discouraged and she can go back and say, you know what? I guess I miss God. Or faith can be the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Look at me. So what happens is when she hits the barrier, she gets discouraged and she draws back. Do you know why she does that? Because she's got her eyes here. What she's looking at is the barrier. She's looking at the wall. She's looking at the rejection. She's looking at the discouragement. I'm not trying to intentionally use you like that. This is hyperbole. She's looking at that. And if you're not careful, if your focus is on this. See, look at me. Faith is not about a possession. It's about a person. Faith isn't necessarily about that position. Faith is about Jesus in that position. There's a difference. Because the purpose of your faith, the focus of your faith is taking possession of this. And then all of a sudden you run into this, and this is where your focus is. You get discouraged and you draw back. But notice what Paul said, if you believe he wrote Hebrews. Looking unto, watch now, the author and the, it's a shouting ground right here. Whenever you, God drops faith in your heart, says, I want you to work this at Tech. This is what I have for you. And you move into it and you hit that first hurdle or that first obstacle, keep your eyes up. Well, Lord, I'm not going to look at that. I'm not, just like Abraham, I'm not considering my body. I know it looks like I'm too old. And I know Mama looks like she's too old. And we both wore out. We don't feel like making out at night. We just go to bed early when the sun goes down. All right? But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to look at any of that. Come on, somebody. I'm going to look right here. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. See, watch now. If you keep your eyes on Jesus and you realize he's the author, look, and he is the finisher. Ooh, here it is. Whenever God gives you faith for something, it's not up to you to bring it to pass. I'm about to help you right here. It's not up to you to make it happen. When God makes you a promise, when grace has provided for you, you can struggle all you want to try to make it happen, but it won't happen until God says it's time. That's the reason the Bible uses phrases like this, and in the fullness of time. God has a time for every purpose under heaven. So what God wants you to do is keep your eyes on the person of Jesus. Just keep walking toward it. Now, she can't just stop moving toward it. She's got to keep moving toward it by faith. I'm going to keep moving toward it. I might get rejection here. They might say no here. They may not, but I cannot be denied. God has put it in my heart. So my eyes are going to be right here. You can reject me, but I ain't got my eyes on you. You can say no to me, but my eyes aren't on you. Right? You're not my source. He's my source. So I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. And the next thing you know, you look up. And you get a phone call. I might be prophesying right now. And you get a phone call that says, hey, you know what? We think you are the right choice. We want you to come. What happened? Did you make it happen? Nope. Look at me. You know who made it happen? The finisher of your faith. He that began a good work in you shall complete it against this day. I don't care what the conflict is. I don't care what the struggle is. I don't care if it seems like it's never going to come to pass. Folks, let me tell you something. If God has ever made you a promise, if God has ever given you a word, if God has ever dropped faith in your heart, if he's ever authored faith in your heart, he's going to bring it to pass just like he is not a man that he can lie, nor the son of man that he'll change his mind. His arm is not short concerning his promises. If God ever said it, God is going to do it. God is going to do it. God's going to do it. Stand with me all over this room. Ooh, lift your hands. look up to Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of my faith. So Lord, with hands lifted high and my eyes upon you, I thank you that it's going to come to pass just like you said it's going to come to pass. Now think about whatever promise he's given you and just go ahead and thank him that it's coming. It's coming just as sure as we're standing here today. It's coming. It's going to happen just as sure as I'm preaching to you today. It's going to take place. Why? Because if God ever said it, he's going to settle it. He's the author. He's the finisher of my faith. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Let's give the Lord a shout in this room. Come on. Somebody give the Lord a shout in this room. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. If you're in here today and you're not right with Jesus, I want to give you some good news. Pastor Steve is coming right now, but I want to give you some good news. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross so that you could be free. He gave his life for you so that he could give his life to you. If you don't know Jesus today, you don't have to go through religious calisthenics. You don't have to put your name on a church membership roll. Let me tell you what you do. By faith, you just simply lift your heart toward heaven and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. Jesus, I believe you died for me. Jesus, I believe you're alive right now, and I give you my life. And then just surrender your life to Christ. That's all you got to do to be born again. We make being born again so hard. It's not, folks. It's just by grace you have been saved through faith. Say it out loud. By grace you have been saved through faith. Amen. And if you need prayer today before you leave, Pastor Steve and some of the people will be up here in the front. We'll pray with you. We'll help you. We'll walk with you. You're not in this alone. Amen. God's got great things for your life.